Then another line, which more is the topic that we're looking at today, is mindfulness. And mindfulness is particularly taken up, first of all, by Kabat-Zinn in Massachusetts. And he set up a stress clinic, it was called, but what he predominantly took was people with chronic pain. So he took people who had pain that Western doctors couldn't do anything for anymore, any sort of pain. So in a way, they didn't have anything to lose by going to see Kabat-Zinn. And what he set up was an 8-week mindfulness meditation course with some yoga exercises in and a one-day retreat during the course of it. And what he found was that 2/3 of the people benefited from this. And even more remarkably, 4 years later when they did a follow-up, people were still benefiting from it, particularly if they'd continued with the meditation, or even if they'd continued with informal practice, which I'll refer to later. He also did work with anxiety and then later other conditions like psoriasis, and this became called mindfulness-based stress reduction. So, in a way, Kabat-Zinn started this off, and then mindfulness started being used much more in other things. So it started being used as part of other sorts of therapy. So it's used in acceptance and commitment therapy, which has been developed by someone called Stephen Hayes in Utah, I think. And he's found that helpful for depression and anxiety and for some other conditions. It's also been used in something called dialectical behaviour therapy, DBT, which is particularly developed by Marshall Lyon for working with people with borderline personality disorder, although it's also been adapted for use in substance use. But in these things, mindfulness is just like one component of the therapy. And then more recently, there's something called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, which is for recurrent depression. And this really built on Kabat-Zinn's work and is shown to be effective for people who've had more than 3 episodes of depression, so people with recurrent depression. And in Britain, we have these things called the NICE guidelines, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence, which says what are sort of the effective treatments. And recently, MBCT has been put into the NICE guidelines for treatment of recurrent depression. So that's MBCT, and then there's MBRP, which is mindfulness-based relapse prevention, which is using, again, the same sort of stuff, but for preventing relapse into addictive disorders. And as regards that, there's been some theoretical papers written about it, and here and there, I think people are starting to do work with it. So I've started running courses on it at the centre where I teach, and in the health service where I work as well, but basically adapting the mindfulness-based cognitive therapy for addiction. So, in a way, what's come out of all this, which is a sort of bit of an overview of Buddhism and meditation used therapeutically, is that mindfulness in particular seems to have come out as being something that's very important or very useful as a therapeutic tool. And it seems to be more specific than just meditation in general, which might have a sort of calming or relaxing effect.